May I now request Honorable Chief Guest Padma Shri Dr. Anil Rajavanshi sir to deliver the keynote address, please.
Good morning. Can we have the okay? So I would like to thank Shri Galgade ji and the honored members on the dais for inviting me to HAL Nasik. I think in June when I gave a talk in HAL Bangalore, when the CVO, Chief CEO, CVO, she invited me, Kalyani ji. So I think some of you have heard about that talk. So they thought I should come and give a similar talk. I don't like to give a similar talk. So I said, I'll give a different talk. And my talk today is Ethics of Work, How to Be a Good Citizen. And this is the talk that I give now most of the times. Because you are the future of the young people, not the grey ones, the future of this country. And I believe that if you do work ethically and truthfully, you will become a good citizen and help this country achieve greatness. Before I start my talk, I would like to share with you a small historical fact. The founder of HAL, Shri Walchand Heerachand, was very closely known to my father-in-law, Nandini's father. We were very close family friends, and I have stayed in the house in Mumbai. And to my mind, Walchand Heerachand and Tatas and others were the builders of modern India. In fact, before independence, they really created great industrial systems. And I hope that you continue the tradition, what they started. Because HAL has a tremendous role to play and contribute significantly in nation building. The second thing is, my father went to jail with Mahatma Gandhi. And he was in the second string of leadership. And he knew Shri Vallabhbhai Patel. And there were very interesting anecdotes he told me. But this is not the forum for discussion. And why he was the Iron Man was because of his tremendous qualities. And the most important thing was, all those people at that time, they were the builders of modern India. They only thought about India. Because they were all inspired by Gandhiji, who gave us independence and the feeling that we should all be a part of this great society, a great ancient country, and should build up this great country. Today's topic, Ethics of Work, is a very deep topic. You took the pledge, etc. You must be taking this pledge every year. But how many of you really follow it? We take the pledges, we say all sort of things, but then when you go into the real life, somebody says you have to do it, without that now nothing will be done, you pay. Knowing fully well that it is wrong, but then that is how the laws are. Laws are made for certain things properly, but they are never followed properly, and that is where the problem lies. But if each one of us look very carefully, honestly inside us, then I think things can change, and this is what I'll talk a little bit. So I run a small NGO, as you the gentleman who gave a long introduction, and you can read everything in our website. Okay. You are taught subjects all your life, you have been passing exams. In fact, the whole life of an Indian is basically from one exam to another. You all became engineers passing exams. You focused mostly on passing exams. In fact, there was no discussion on the timetable. It was all decided by when the next exam or quiz will be. And this is what we do. Nobody teaches you ethical behavior, truthfulness, and how to become a good citizen. And this is something which I believe is the most important thing to be taught. No curriculum is done. There may be some curriculum, some places where they start teaching you ethics, but then this again becomes a course. So you pass an exam. So you pass an exam of how to be an ethical student, and that's the end of it. It should be a continuous dialogue between yourself and peers, the organization, because this should become a part of our DNA. And how we do that is all your responsibility, and think about it. So ethics of work basically means doing work very honestly, diligently, and without cutting corners. When you start cutting corners, you know, there may be a lot of, when you start working, most of the times, and ask yourself, ask your friends, most of the times you will be complaining. Complaint comes because you have not looked at the things properly. If you start looking at the things properly, then you start realizing, why am I complaining? Why there is a problem? Because when you look at things very properly, then you start finding new ways of doing it more efficiently. Gandhiji always did that. Gandhiji fought against the wrong laws of Britishers, but he did it after finding out why they were wrong. What could be done? He never fought them for the sake of fighting. He always gave a positive solution. And he gave enough opportunity to the Britishers and other sides to rectify it. When the rectification did not take place, then he started the mass movement. I'm not saying that we should start the mass movement, but I am saying simply that honestly, whatever work has been assigned to you, design, construction, fabrication, look very carefully. See where your knowledge is lacking, how you can do it nicely, and then you start enjoying it. Because when you go deeper into anything, then you find out that that work is very nice and good. Can you please move from there so I can read? Yeah. Because I don't have that. So mistakes will happen, but with honesty and good intentions, they can be rectified. All organizations are looking for honest and diligent workers. I run a small organization. The person may not be very bright, but if a person is intelligent and honest, he or she can learn. And that is the most important thing. You learn on the job, but if your intentions are not noble, then you may be the brightest person, but you will never do things usefully for yourself and for the organization. So that is the most important thing, that you should have honest intentions. Unethical behavior creates problems for both self, organization, and the system. You can become a better person by working ethically. It gives joy and satisfaction. When I came back from United States, you know, half the Silicon Valley is owned by my classmates. I was the only IITian to come back to rural in India. Some people came in 1980s because the whole country was going to United States, and I was like a fool who came back to rural Maharashtra. Everybody said, what a fool, what a idiot you are, because I was a rising star. I could have been the chairman of any corporation, went to some of the best school, best university. It was arrogance and madness. And when you have arrogance and madness, then you do good things. Or at least you do things which you enjoy. And that is how the ethics start. If you have a passion, if you have a genuine, if you want to do something, nobody can stop you. Will anybody tell you in HAL, why are you doing great work? They'll tell you why you're doing useless work, why you're wasting time. But if you're doing good work, it not only helps you, but others also start getting affected by that. And that is what Gandhiji showed in his life. Gandhi never preached. It was his, in fact, how many of you have read Gandhi? This is also another very sad thing in this country, that we don't read about these great figures. How many of you have read Gandhi? Should read, you know, vigilance should force everybody to read about who were the pioneers of independence movement. There is a very beautiful book by Rajen Prasad, Why I Became a Fan of Gandhi. Rajen Prasad came from a very, very rich family in Bihar. And he thought that this man is a fool. But when Gandhiji started work in his Champaran, in fact, the basic people and everything, support system was provided by Rajen Prasad, very reluctantly. And when he saw that this man is spending his life, he saw his wife is cooking for everybody, because you know, Rajen Prasad came from a very rich zamindar family, and then his wife is, and he are cleaning the toilets of all of them. He says, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And he changed, and he said that this is something Gandhi never preached. He showed from his example what it is to be a great human being. And that is how he changed everybody. So when you become a better person ethically, doing work, it gives you joy, satisfaction, and others are also affected. Initially they will criticize you, why are you doing extra work? Why you should not leave at this time? But slowly, slowly it starts building up. Next slide. Unethical behavior starts when we tell lies. It starts from childhood. Fear makes children lie. Beaten up in schools, homes. How many of you have been beaten up nicely? And how many of you beat your children also nicely? This is the biggest problem. The moment a child tells a lie, you immediately beat him. He'll stop telling anything to you. And that is the start of lies. You can tell them nicely, they will understand. Lies are told for so many reasons. But one of the major reasons is the fear. And it's the fear which you have to remove in yourself and everybody else. And when you do that, you start becoming ethical. So frustration of parents is also taken out on children. They come very tired. The children are not behaving, so they immediately take the frustration. Then also insecurity to impress others. Children are very smart people. They immediately learn and they try to impress, they tell lies, all sort of things. But it's always a good idea to slowly motivate them and take them to the right direction. And then they'll stop telling lies. And then they also realize by telling truth, it makes life simpler, for not for themselves, but for everybody else. Lying not checked early becomes habitual. And this is the start of unethical behavior. You tell outright lies, because unethical behavior means that you do not want to do something which you are supposed to do. And so in order to cover up, you start telling lies. And you can see, you go inside honestly and figure out that why this happens. Greed also fuels unethical behavior. It starts from the greed. I want this, I want that. Because the insecurity fuels a greed impulse. You want to have things which you are not supposed to have or whatever it is. And then you want to have more and more. And that is how you start the unethical behavior. It is an outcome of insecurity. When you go and buy things, how many of you really, when you go to buy things, you really ask yourself, do you really need it? You go to buy because of insecurity. Insecurity fuels this buying impulse. Something is less by 50%, immediately buy, not knowing whether you really need it or not. And that is how it starts. And it continues building up. And after 30, 40 years, you never even think, because you become immune to this. Greed can be reduced by practicing spirituality. This is the very most important thing. What is spirituality? Define. Come on, you people must be, you know, you are in the most holy city of India, Nasik. Don't you go and do this ghantavaji? Give the puja, give the things to the murtis and all sort of things. Spirituality is not this ghanta. This is a great tradition of India, not a tradition, the great spiritual thought of India. Spirituality is looking inside you very, very honestly and deeply. It is not religion. Everybody can be a spiritual. You don't need to follow any religion, you don't need to follow any ism, you just need to follow the deep internal process. And when you start doing that, you don't even need to do meditation, etc. You just start looking internally, honestly, and that is spirituality. Spirituality is looking deeper inside, it is not religion. Spirituality gives us wisdom and helps us differentiate between important and not so important people. In fact, all the great people, I have the great satisfaction of meeting a lot of very great people whom you read in the history books. I had the great honor of meeting some of them in America, here, etc. They're not religious or anything, they are spiritual. Because when you are looking for the truth, you ultimately lead to spirituality. Gandhi was a great spiritual person, so were a lot of other people. Not the Dhungabaji, not the so-called gurus, they're not spiritual. Because they were spiritual, they would not be driving in Mercedes and Rolls Royce and etc. Because you don't require to show them, show everybody. It comes by itself. And that is what spirituality is. Sustained spirituality gives us happiness. Next. Unfortunately, large-scale greed influenced by the US, since the focus is bottom line. What is bottom line? What is bottom line? You have heard about this phrase, bottom line.
Profit.
So in the director's report, there is always the last line which said that so much money has been given as for the shareholders, etc. And that is how the whole company is run, including HAL. HAL gives money to the shareholders, etc. And this bottom line is what has created the biggest greed. And since most of the things come from America, we have also followed it. So we are now becoming, some people are becoming richer and richer, and the poor are becoming poorer and poorer. And this is what is happening, because everything is driven by greed. It has affected the financial markets, which have become richer and the poor have become poorer. This is true all over the world, and have led to unsustainable lifestyle and environmental degradation. I will not name, but you know how some of the rich people live. Two people living in 100,000 square foot of area. For what? They drive hundreds of cars. You can wear one shirt and one pant, and yet there are people who will have 400 shirts and 400 pants. For what? This is something which you have to look very careful inside. I'm not saying that you should live like Gandhiji. I'm not saying that you live like poverty. You live decently. And I've shown it in my own life, the last 35, 40 years, that I live a very decent lifestyle, a very simple lifestyle. And I use much less energy. And one can live nicely. But by following the simple maxim, think high, live simply. And that is what Gandhiji and other people taught. And all the great people also, Einstein, others, they were all very, they lived very simply, and they always thought on a very high level. And that is how we should all be. And when you do that, all the pinpricks vanish, you focus on the work, because you become very much concerned about what you are doing, because you take pride. One of the main reasons why you don't do good work is because people don't take pride. If you take pride in what you are doing, that is the first start of ethical behavior. Because when you become very proud of what you are doing, it starts with the ethics, that you want to do everything properly, etc. So that is how it is. Greed. Now there are examples in India, and as you all know, Nirav Modi, Malia, etc. Then in USA, so many, one of the biggest tragedies right now is the opioid epidemic in America. Which means you get hooked on these painkillers. And painkillers are not necessary, but the doctors prescribe, because the pharmaceutical companies come and tell them that we'll give you so much of cut. And so this happens. This happens here in India. We all become greedy. We don't, you know, just ask yourself, if you have a lot of money, what will you do with a lot of money? What will you do? Have you done any calculation? This whole desire of accumulating continuously becomes an end in itself. You try to accumulate. Because you keep on thinking that in future I might need it. And that is the worst thing you can do. Because a debt, a money which is not utilized is basically a dead money. Money is defined by its velocity. When money flows, that is how you get better quality of life, etc. But when you simply accumulate, it is of no use. And that is what we do, because we are very insecure. We all the time don't think that no, something will happen. Because we are all governed by the insurance people. The insurance man always puts a fear in you. What happens if you die? If I die, I die. What is wrong with that? What is the end of it? Why will I think about the money after I am dead? This is not what is you think carefully. So this is how the things happen. So greed can be tempered by inculcating genuine or passion. Next. Greed reduction, inculcate jagoon in whatever you do. It is like a yoga. The pinpricks go away since the laser-like focus is on work and on hand. Gives peace and happiness. When I came back from United States, naturally, you know, I lived in Maharashtra, old Maharashtra, the place called Phaltan. Have you heard about Phaltan? Some of you have, you are Maharashtrians. Phaltan was a place in 1981 where to make a phone call, long distance phone calls. A lot of times I would hop on the bus, go to Pune, 4 hour journey to make phone calls. I who went through the best public English medium school in Lucknow, then to IIT, which was the best institute in India, and to some of the best universities in America, and coming back to rural Maharashtra, where such a thing existed, that was a very different life altogether. But because there was a janoon and madness to do something wonderful or something useful, all those pinpricks vanished. For 3 years, I and my wife would bicycle. The local people would say, what an idiot they are, they have come from America, they don't even have a vehicle, they bicycle. We didn't have a TV, nothing, just the janoon. This is the only thing we had. And when you do that, all these shortcomings, etc., they become meaningless, because the higher goal is the most important thing. So develop a higher goal in whatever you do. Don't complain. Complaint comes because of insecurity. All the time you will find complaint or you will find fault. This is not happening, that is not happening. If you are intelligent, change it. You should be smart enough to change the system. You should be smart enough to tweak the system to your advantage. If you cannot do that, then you are not smart enough to do anything. And you will continue complaining. You will increase your blood pressure, you will increase everybody else's problems, and nothing will be solved. Gandhiji showed this. He always had a solution. You know, there are a lot of other fighters. I will not name them. They are all the time fighting. This is bad with the system. This is bad with India. This is bad with this. Give a solution. Any idiot will give you 100 reasons what is bad with the system. But only a great man will give you a solution. That may not be the last solution, but it is a journey, start of the journey, which will end in something useful. Do that. And if you do that, you will immediately see that you have become a happier person. You started looking at the problems from a very different point of view. And that is what is ethics, basically. When you work ethically and honestly, then you start looking at these things. Because nature itself shows you a lot of very new avenues and paths for something better when you do things properly. So reduction in greed leads to less psychological knots, better sleep, simplifying life, and overall happiness. How many of you attended yesterday's lecture by Dr. Dixit? How many? So what did you learn? Eat 2 days, eat two things. Two times, is that the only thing you learn? You never ask the question why you have a higher blood sugar. You never ask anything else. It is because of your stress. Stress comes when you, because the whole body is controlled by the mind. mind is a very powerful thing. And if you can control the mind, which means if you can control the stress through the mental process, a lot of these things will not happen. That is why I think it is very necessary to have a simplified life. And when you don't tell lies, you work truthfully, it simplifies your life. Because all the time you will keep on thinking, now I created such a condition so my boss would not know. I made a fool of him, etc. Simplify your life and things will become better and less stressful. Insecurity and greed leads to number games. Who has a bigger jet? Lot of the captains of Indian industry are my friends. So one of them would tell me, I bought this jet. A personal use. So I said, you already had a jet. He said, no, this is a better jet. So I said, why did you buy a better jet? He says, because Mr. So-and-so has a jet bigger than mine. What a stupid thing. I got my first car in 1985. This was the first Maruti car. It came by lottery and it was 24th in the country. And I drove that car till five years ago. When the Maruti stopped giving me any surveys, no parts were available, insurance said that we will not insure it. Finally, I had to give it. It was a wonderful car. It ran all over the country. It ran all over the place. Beautiful engine, etc. It took me from point A to point B. When I go on those potholed roads, even if I am driving a Rolls Royce, it will go at 25 to 30 kilometers per hour. What great will you achieve by going in a Rolls Royce? Just for 10 kilometers, 5 kilometers. Think about these things. These are fundamental issues. What? And yet, all the time people talk about their Mercedes, their BMWs, their Rolls Royce, etc. Just an insecurity. I'll again not give the name, but this gentleman had his couple of jets, and then he would come to the airport in his jet, and there were 15-20 cars lined, and he would come and I'll go in this car, and then 9 or 10 other cars would just go follow him. What vanity, what insecurity, because that is what becomes the purpose in life. The purpose in life should be using your money for greater good. You can have money because you can say that yes, you earned it. One of the richest person of this country, I know somebody who was his jet driver. I called him a driver because he was a jet pilot. And he would tell me amazing stories. Just for 3 to 4 hours shopping, they would go to fly to New York, shop and come back. Total cost would be approximately $1 million for the coming going, etc. And 6 pilots. What type of life is that? You will not even know how to live a life like that. But why go for that? Think about the purpose of life can be so much better and different than what you want and what the media shows. I'll give you another example. When you start on the number game, then the empathy goes away. Your feeling goes away. So when I was in America, at the time Jimmy Carter was the president, I had a great satisfaction of meeting Jimmy Carter before he became the president. So Jimmy Carter had invited Begin and Sadat because there was a lot of fight going on and they were not coming to any conclusion. And the whole army, whole people, all their people were fighting. If I give you this, this will happen. So many area will go away, so much money will be lost, so much my army, etc. So last day, when he said that he thought that nothing will happen, he invited both Begin and Sadat for the fire chat, and there were no aides, etc. And he started talking about his grandchildren. and then Begin started talking about his grandchildren. And then Siddhartha started talking about his grandchildren. And Carter said, don't you think we should leave a better world for our grandchildren? And the next day the accord was signed. Because there was a humanness that came in. The empathy is lost when you look at number games. You're all the time looking for money. So much money I have to make, so much, etc. But for what? Why do you want to simply accumulate? And when you start looking and doing things for the humanness, you know, I'll provide so much for this, I'll do this, then you get a feeling that yes, your life is meaningful. Greed sometimes unleashes forces over which we have no control. Hitler and modern demagogues. Putin does not know what is happening. In fact, once you release those forces, nobody has control. Today, Israel has done something. It was all managed by Mr. Netanyahu. This is what I feel. And I have a lot of information about that. But he does not know that he has set up evil forces in motion about which he will never have control. And they have the ability to take everybody in Aoti. And finally, the whole thing is finished. And that is what the biggest problem happens. In Panchtantra, there is a very famous... how many people have you read Panchtantra? One. Panchtantra is one of the finest. Two, three, four. Panchtantra, but in comic books? Okay. That's very good. Panchtantra, to my mind, is one of the finest books ever written. In fact, the whole world's folk tales have been inspired by Panchtantra. And we still do not know when it was written. We still do not know why it was written. You know, there are some people who say that. And even today when I read, you know, this is what he said, the four volumes. It's amazing. What was said in 5,000 years ago, the same thing applies here today. And that is the greatness of these ancient great books, which have the universal thought, which is always valid for all the times. And in Panchtantra, there's a very beautiful tale. There were two frogs in a well who used to fight among themselves for the resources. So one, the king of one section was very little intelligent. He went outside, befriended a cobra and brought him and told him to eat the other group. He started eating. And when the other group finished, he says, I am hungry, I have to eat. So he started eating his group. And finally it came to the king and he ate him also. So these are the forces which we have no control. And so one should never go for those evil forces, and that can only happen when you have less insecurity and you know what you're doing. I'll give you some few of my examples. When I was leaving the United States, I was running a very large program funded by the US State Department. It was a $3.5 million project in which we were teaching scientists and very top aides of the presidents and prime ministers on renewable energy. I was very proud of it because I was the initiator of the program. And I decided to come back. And somebody who was the President Carter's security counsel, he came to my office and for 4 hours he sat and said, green card, 1 second. Citizenship, very fast track in 2 to 3 years. Why do you want to go back to India and do harakari? We need you. Anyway, so I have written that in my book. So I decided that since I am leaving, I should find a replacement for myself. So I wrote a nice advertisement, got it published in the papers, and then interviewed. So these guys used to come for interview. They said, why? Who are you interviewing for? I said, I am interviewing for myself because I am leaving and you are going to take my... So they were very surprised. And I thought this was the ethical way to do. Otherwise, a lot of times what happens, you give a resignation and you can go out. The University of Florida was a very, very big university. But I felt, why I felt? Because I felt it was my baby. I felt it should run properly, even after I am gone. And that is how ethics start. The same thing happened when we gave our personal land in lieu of the institute land. The local gunda, he wanted to take our land away from the institute, and he developed a lot of things where he said that the ousties of the the dam, etc., they will be put in your land. And we fought, and then I told the commissioner that we will give our land. So he said, "This is the most foolish thing I have heard in my life. People ask the government to take the institute land to save your own land, but you're doing the other way around." So I told them, I said, "You know, institute will run beyond my time. My land will, what will happen after I go, is nobody's know." So this is how you define ethics. When it is for the greater good, for the future, that is, you know, gives you a lot of freedom to work on ethics and honesty. And the final thing is, we lived in a very posh flat in Lucknow when my father, from almost 46 years, we used to live in this flat right in, some of you know Lucknow. So Hazrat Ganj, that is, the flat was in Hazrat Ganj. And after 46 years, after my father's death, I decided to give it back to the owner. And I was told that the going rate was 50 lakhs. He would have given gladly 50 lakhs to vacate it. I thought this was very unethical. We lived for 46 years, used to pay 100 rupees per month. So I went and told him that here are the keys. He could not believe. He said, "Are you mad? Because after your father, you will be the owner, because the tenancy laws are such." So I said, "I have read all the laws, but since I don't want to stay here right now, here are the keys." So he was so much aghast, he told his son to go run. In 15 minutes they got all the papers. So he thought that I was a mad person, I may change it. So he got me signed. But I think that was the only ethical thing to do. A lot of people were after that flat because it was a prime flat. Always follow what is right. You know, my institute wanted 50 lakh rupees at that time, because we were looking for, we were making a building. It would have been very easy for me to ask him to donate 50 lakh to our institute. I thought, no, that is not the right way. Always look very closely internally and then make a decision. Work ethically and diligently, and new paths will become visible. It will also reduce complaints, as we discussed. Take pride in your work. It will give you a purpose in life and lead to ethical behavior. And the parameter for decision should be follow your passion and be guided by the idea the outcome should be for greater good. Next. So what can all of us do? Ethics should be a part of every discourse and discussions. When you sit on the dining table in the canteen, you should not be, I'm sure a lot of you must be discussing how you screwed that person, how you made this, etc. Think about how we can do better things. Because you are building the country. You are a very important part of this country, because HAL is a very great organization which is providing a lot of things for the defense and for the other things. In fact, yesterday when we were having dinner, I said there's another great challenge. Design autonomous machines for small farms, because small machines are not available. And if you design autonomous machines with your technology and etc., then this will help the farmers increase their profit and it will help them to farm better. So that is the type of thing that you should be looking at. Examples of ethical behavior should be stressed continuously. Gandhiji said that the change should start from us, as all of us know. Keep on just saying that, but we don't follow it. And if you follow it, it will do you good. Each one of us should do our job ethically. Doing it will also show us how to do it efficiently. By doing our job properly and efficiently, the entire country will progress and become a great country. Very honestly, evaluate what you want in life. Don't follow what others are telling you. In fact, most of the insecurity comes because you all the time keep on saying, "Zamana kya kahega? Zamana ne kuch nahi kaha hai." It is you who are not interested in doing it. So you take the course of Zamana kya kahega. It should be based upon emotional satisfaction and happiness. It will help reduce grief and insecurity. And I write a lot on spirituality, and I have written books, and my mantra is that spirituality with technology, spirituality the ancient Indian philosophical thought with the modern technology will give us happiness and sustainability. And this should be the guiding force for our development. And it will help you all become an ethical human being. Thank you very much. These are our websites, all my writings. I made all my books available free of cost because I believe knowledge should be freely available. And I urge you to read. They are inspirational books about my journey from IIT Kanpur to America and back, and how we did work in NARI. So there's a very interesting book called Romance of Innovation, or R&D, Human Interest Story of R&D in Rural India. And so many other things, videos. I'll take questions because I think questions clarify a lot of things. Yeah. It was too boring.
How do you get down to Paltan?
My wife. So she is responsible for everything. In fact, whatever I have done in my life is because of her. So the great.